Well, I'm from Cork. I'm not from Dublin. But I've moved here about 15 years ago to go to college and I haven't left.
Hey, everybody. Kate Delaney broadcasting live from Dublin, Ireland. Oh, yes, indeed. Back in the mother country, as some would say, in my life. I'm actually going to trace my ancestors, as many of you know, heading to Tullamore later this week. But, boy, do we have a great show for you. A lot of interesting people. Really, the sights and sounds of Ireland, including Northern Ireland and a trip to Belfast. Can you imagine if I had told my grandmother that 20 years ago, she would have said it wasn't happening. Even 10 years ago, and maybe even 5 years ago. And unfortunately, lately, they've been in the news, too, for some skirmishes at some parades, although nothing like what used to happen in Belfast. In fact, it's an impressive city. It's really starting to come into its own. I met some wonderful people, both Protestants and Catholics, who seem to be getting along, and that's the way things roll here in Ireland. It's the gift of the gab and humor, without a doubt. Got to tell you a couple of interesting things off the top. We're staying at a hotel, the Hotel Clontarf, and I think you'll find this, you know how we love to throw out factoids here in America tonight, right? So I'm going to give you one right at the top. In a nutshell, you have a high king called Brian Boru, who defeats the Vikings, and when they're trying to slaughter him and take over Ireland, basically. And this is in April of 1014. We're not talking about the EU. We're not talking about parliaments of today. Put your mind back in 1014. We're talking about the Vikings coming over with their swords and their shields and their angry attitudes and just trying to slice and dice their counterpart. Parts rather in Dublin. So Brian Boru defeats at Clontarf, where there is a castle, the castle of those days. He defeats the Vikings, goes to chill out in his tent, and they kill him. So that's so Irish, right? He's celebrating the win, and he goes into his tent, probably to talk about it and have a few brews, and then he dies. But it's interesting because I think when I walk through the lobby, 1014, there's a wall that is an original wall of the castle, and you just look at it and you imagine yourself back in those times. And that's what it's like in Ireland. You have modern, in Dublin especially, you have a modern city, a thriving young city, but then you have these giant pieces of the past as big reminders. So I spent some time with the people here on the streets, and here's what one of them had to tell me about Ireland.
Well, I'm from Cork. I'm not from Dublin. But I've moved here about 15 years ago to go to college, and I haven't left. And I'm a very proud Cork woman. So the fact that I have chosen to live here is a reason enough, I suppose, in terms of why I think Dublin is great. I think it's great because it's a really big city, but it feels like a small village. And I feel very at home here. I love the Dublin wit. I love the fact that we're under umbrellas here, smelling loads of amazing food. And if we walk two streets up, something else is going to be going on. There'll be someone busking. The Dublin Theatre Festival is on at the moment. The Fringe Festival just happened and finished here last week. There was Australians throwing feather boas around the square. So it's a really exciting city. That's why I live here. I work with loads of incredible artists. And I don't know, it's a magical place.
She said it all.
She kind of said it all. I think Dublin has an absolutely thriving and beautiful cultural scene and a theatre scene. And I think anybody who has any interest in the art or the arts would find this place very welcoming and very, very homey. Well, I think being Irish, we're never, ever, ever far away from our history. I think history is palpable, and I think people live and breathe it, to be honest with you. I think it's part of the wit. I think it's part of the language. If you go back into the Irish language, which is how we speak, I mean, a lot of it is translated quite literally how we speak today in our turn of phrase. So I don't think there's any avoiding the Irish history. I think it's alive in absolutely all the Irish people, so it's never forgotten.
All right, Never Forgotten and Celebrated. I'm here as part of the Gathering Ireland 2013. Be there if you have any Irish roots especially. They say it's when Ireland invites the world to join in celebrating its music, culture, festivals, fun, and lots more. And you could hear from those women that we just talked to that obviously they were celebrating that and very, very proud of their Irish history. You know, Dublin itself is home to just over 4 million people. As you head north to Belfast, as I did just the other day, it's a little over 1 million, maybe 1 million and a half. So you're talking about 6 million people. You put that in perspective when you think of the United States, where many of you are listening to me. Of course, a lot of you are listening to me in the UK and in China and other places, too. But the population, it's an island. You know, it's an island from end to end if you were to drive it, as many people have when they come and they try to spend a couple of weeks. You're talking about 4 hours, just 4 hours from east to west. So, you know, how about that? For me, I guess that would be growing up a trip up and down perhaps the East Coast, but if you take the United States and use the comparison, the state of Texas, you couldn't even get across it in 4 hours, or California, perhaps our California, or even Florida as well. All right, let me tell you, coming up a little bit later in this hour, we're going to take you to Trinity College. Trinity College is probably one of the best schools in Ireland, but it also houses that history that they're so proud of. We're talking about the Book of Kells and the first book ever printed in England on display at the library at the Trinity College. And if you pick up any guidebook to Ireland, it's one of the first things you'll see, that you can't miss a stop to Trinity College. It would be impossible to come to Ireland and not do that. So we're going to talk with somebody at Trinity College about the books and a little bit about the history and actually what it's like there, to watch all the people come in and see their expressions when they see this history, different kinds of books and different methods, actually, even in some cases, of printing them. Also coming up this hour, hey, we can't forget about football in America. Here it's all about hurling. They had the big championship yesterday, Kilkenny and Galway, 85,000 people thumping, pumping, and screaming with these sticks running around on the field, people cheering for a game that I'm still trying to figure out how it works, although it seems pretty exciting. It's like our football. It's like American football. So we're going to let you hear some of what happened on the field during this show of America Tonight, because, of course, we have Nail the Score. So did we have a winner or not? We'll jump to that, too, as well. Plus, some of the headlines. Let's get you caught up to date on some things that happened perhaps over the weekend while you were chilling. And I hope you were chilling. I hope you had a great weekend and you weren't thinking about some of the things that are going on that we've been talking about with this election coming up. And this week is a big week because of the debates. Some of you think it's a defining moment for maybe Mitt Romney, or maybe, you know, President Obama. Does he pull away and do something different? However, the even money or better money is on Romney coming out swinging out of the gate, at least in this first of the three debates. I would be remiss not to mention this at the top. How about what happened at the Ryder Cup? Can you believe it? And here I am in Europe. The Europeans beat the United States. I am shocked that the Americans lost. When we come back on the flip side, we're going to talk a little bit about that. Hang with us. A pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado, and to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. places, but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Have you ever felt like the United States government knows way too much about your financial affairs? I continue to hear stories about property seizures, frozen bank accounts, confiscation of stocks and bonds. It makes me wonder if the U.S. citizen will ever again have the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Unfortunately, with the Drug and Money Laundering Act, the IRS Revenue Ruling 6045 of 1984, and the Trading with the Enemy Act and Franklin D. Roosevelt's Executive Order of 1933, some precious metal holdings are subject to government intervention. For this reason, Midas Resources has prepared a report explaining the boundaries of trading precious metals privately. Whether if you have any intention of trading with Midas Resources or not, I have instructed my representatives to give this report out free. Call for your free copy at 1-800-686-2237. When investing, always proceed with caution. Again, call 1-800-686-2237. Exercise your legal right to trade metals privately. 1-800-686-2237.
Would it save you time to get the best quality water filters and the best quality storable foods from one company? You bet it would, and now you can at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. Big Berkey water filter products and great-tasting, long-lasting, storable, wise foods are both now available on one website, BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. Wise foods, ready-to-eat meals are packed in airtight nitrogen pouches and come with a 25-year shelf life. Big Berkey water filters are powerful enough to purify treated, untreated, or even stagnant pond water. Combine Berkey water filters with Wise foods for an unbeatable preparedness combination. Get free shipping on every order over $50. And GCN listeners receive 5% off all ceramic filter systems. Visit Big, BERKEY, waterfilters.com. Or call 877-99-BERKEY. That's 877-99-BERKEY. Or go to BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com.
Well, party, and confused, because lately you've been starting to lose, losing out on everything you might try to do. Bad luck, bad has got to hold on you.
The Irish never talk about bad luck. In fact, they only talk about good luck. That's the deal with the Irish people, always a smile on their face. If you're listening to me right now, you are listening to me joining you live from Dublin, Ireland. Oh, yes, in the wee hours, let's put it that way. The opposite of what it normally is like for me anyway, doing this show. But I'll tell you what an incredible experience this has been. And I have to thank so many of the people around me, the people at the Hotel Clonterra for, you know, the way they've been treating us, obviously, in the typical Irish hospitality. And also so many of the people that I've met along the way. You know, it's funny when you're in this business and you go from different cities and you'll ask people to talk to them. And, you know, people, there are some wonderful people out there, but the people here are very talkative. They are anxious to tell you their history. They're also, as I mentioned at the top, they're celebrating because they just had their Irish championships when it comes to a sport called, I know, hurling. Hurling means different things for different people, but here's the thing. Kilkenny took on Galway, and they came to a draw the first time around, and there are 32 different counties. So to the folks in Ireland, it's a big deal. So think about it. You have teams, 32 different teams, and it whittles down to this moment because the first time around it was a draw. So now this time, you know, they were going to declare a winner, and I mentioned the fact that you couldn't be in Dublin or in Ireland and not hear about this. So Kilkenny, who they were the favorites, knocked off Galway, and the people who were certainly pulling for Kilkenny couldn't have been happier. They beat them, and see if anyone can figure this out. In fact, if anyone knows anything about hurling or has ever been to a match, you definitely need to call and explain this to us. 855-266-KATE, 855 866-266-5283. But I'll tell you their little scoring line, and it's all Ireland deal. Kilkenny wins by 322-341. And that was, you know, that's the final score, whatever that means. I beat you. I beat you, 322. I mean, that's not even like a tennis score. If I'm playing tennis, and even if it's lopsided, I mean, what do you got there, 6-0? So, you know, I can't figure it out. I know that millions of people were watching it, because at least half of Ireland, if they weren't there, they were watching it on the tube somewhere. So, talking about sports and segging into that, the Ryder Cup, it's heading into the Ryder Cup, without a doubt, the U.S. was favored to win this. In fact, the U.S. had been so dominant a couple of years in a row. They play this every 2 years. And it had been a while since the Europeans had beaten the Americans. But in Europe, waking up to big headlines about the Ryder Cup, that's what people are talking about. In fact, I have a copy right now. You can hear it. Here it is. Fresh off the presses, the Irish Times, and the headline says McIlroy, who is Irish, McIlroy from Northern Ireland, from Hollywood. It says McIlroy rescues mission deployed as Europe snatches shock victory. So it is. In 1999, the United States stunned the Europeans when they overcame a four-point deficit to win at Brookline. And what a different story this was in Chicago. And you know how well people in Chicago take things, all my Illinois friends out there. Europe got the better of the United States. You know what the final score was? 14.5 to 13.5. Jose Olazabal is the coach of that team, and, you know, it's not traditional to throw Gatorade or do any of that kind of stuff, but he was just moved to tears. He was that excited. They were so emotional about it because they were trailing 10-6 heading into the day. That, you know, that's the problem sometimes with Americans. You get the edge and you think you've won, right? And then you give it back. So unfortunately, the Americans lose the Ryder Cup. If anybody was checking that out, if you were watching that, and I know what big fans of golf all of you are, but if you happen to be laying around on the couch and checking it out, what were you thinking when the Europeans came back? I'm also going to throw out the digits for that too. 855-266-KATE. 855-266-5283. We have a couple of the golfers' reactions to that. Davis Love III and Tiger Woods. Check out what they had to say after the devastating loss.
Just didn't play well. You know, we didn't get off to a good start. The guys in the middle, you know, got some matches flipped on them. And then, you know, the guys at the back end, you know, they hung in there, but they had a lot of pressure on them. So, you know, we put those four or five guys there at the end in case something happened. And then the in case something happened did happen. We probably changed a lot of things now that we know we didn't win. You know, I know that that I'll get second guessed, and that's my job. You know, I knew going in that the players would win, the captain would get second guessed. So I hope they put it all on me, because these guys put a lot into this, and they played very, very well.
I didn't know what was going on until 17. After I went up in the match, I asked Joey, come down 18, you know, what the hell's going on here? And he said Europe basically could retain the cup here. So this is, as I was saying to the other guys over there, this is the second time this has happened to me, where I've been out in the fairway. At the Belfry, it was on 17 against Jesper, and here it's on 18. So our matches are inconsequential. They're useless. It's a tough feeling.
Wow, see, it's hard to listen to Tiger Woods and imagine him saying, wow, it's a tough feeling. Of course it's a tough feeling. You can hear the excitement in the background. There were a lot of Europeans, actually, that were in Chicago to watch that. And I stand corrected, too. Thank goodness we have Lavisa Frost with us, Cracker Jack engineer and such a huge sports fan. I think I said a couple of years. I thought it had been a little while. And it was a couple of years since the Europeans won it, but only 2 years. They won it back in 2010. So there you go. And if you remember, they went crazy over that. And, of course, it was a major impact economically, not surprisingly, the way the Europeans embraced that team, on Wales. In fact, they say that it was, you know, if you were to do the if you were to do the conversion, $82.4 million was the impact there. So I wonder what the impact was on Chicago. I know there were some very unhappy people in that city after the loss because they were not expecting that. And I mentioned Rory McIlroy, who couldn't be a bigger superstar to the people in Ireland. The second I got off the plane, that's the first thing somebody said to me. I heard that you did sports and you were interested in sports along with your talk show. And McIlroy is a homeboy. Did you know that he was a homeboy? And, of course, I didn't realize he was from a place called Hollywood. I knew it was Northern Ireland. And when he started match play at the beginning of the week, because he's the young gun and he's won so many big tournaments in the beginning of this season, a lot of people were going to Rory and talking to him and asking him if he was intimidated by Tiger at all. And he said, no, he's not intimidated by him whatsoever. And those comments started to really, really circulate. And somehow they gave him the nickname. They started giving McIlroy the nickname, the Intimidator, as he just stares down Tiger Woods and isn't worried about it. So, you know, Tiger's got, 14 majors, and he's certainly on top of his game, obviously. But for this 23-year-old, he has a chance to become one of the greats, and he's already proving it time in and time out. That's what's happened to him along the way very early in this season, and, of course, when he first came out of the gate last season. So there you have it, in the Ryder Cup. The Europeans tell the Americans, take that, 14.5 to 13.5. I'll say it again. I am absolutely stunned. If we had done a nail the score on this one, I can tell you I wouldn't have been anywhere close to this. I mean, absolutely not anywhere close. Last week we were talking about the election and the fact that we've got the first of the three debates happening this week, and that Mitt Romney had been preparing for the debates all along, and of course going through the ringer with the Republicans, it became for some reason must-see TV, as 5 million, almost 6 million people would watch. There was 20 plus debates heading into Mitt Romney being chosen ultimately by the Republicans as the guy who would run. So could he be more prepared for this? And I think that's pretty much what everybody in the Republican Party is echoing. Last week when we were saying, what do you think the major themes would be? Well, we know jobs, the economy, and, you know, what was the number one thing that people wanted to know? I said we would take the top three and all three of you would win a copy of my book. And we have the top three, and we'll reveal those a little bit later this hour. On the flip side, some odds and ends as we continue to broadcast here from Dublin, Ireland.
Hello?
Congratulations.
For what?
For losing all that weight. How'd you do it so fast?
ASAP.
ASAP what? What's that mean?
Are you ready to get as skinny as possible, as soon as possible, as simple as possible, and as sexy as possible?
I'm listening.
Then get with the ASAP program. It's real and it works. No smooth talk, no slick advertising, and no exaggerated claims of success.
I've got to know more.
Welcome to ASAP, as slim as possible. Whether you have 10, 20, or 50 pounds to lose, ASAP is your weight loss answer. ASAP targets the abnormal fat reserves and makes them available to be burned as fuel and contains no caffeine or hormones. Order ASAP at wholesale prices or join the team to share the business with others. Visit GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Lose weight and look great with ASAP, as slim as possible.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
That's the sound of your door being kicked in by an intruder with a single kick. That's the sound of the same door now protected by the Door Sentinel at MySafeDoor.com. Go to MySafeDoor.com right now and watch the amazing video. At MySafeDoor.com, you'll learn how to turn your home into a fortress with the Door Sentinel. 16 kicks later, and the door sentinel is still holding strong. MySafeDoor.com. That's MySafeDoor.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
September is National Preparedness Month, or as we like to call it, Preptember. So cash in on Preptember savings at BePrepared.com. Going on now, save 21% on freeze-dried mozzarella cheese. Save 25% on five of Mountain House's most popular freeze-dried meals. Save 30% and learn how to make bread from scratch with the Wheat Cooking Starter Kit. Save 36% on the new LRP Entree Combo. And save a whopping 46% when you buy 10 or more packages of MRE Peanut Butter. All at BePrepared.com. Plus, new for Preptember, freeze-dried yogurt bites in five delicious flavors. And Provident Pantry non-fat dry milk is specially priced this month. As always, check out the Emergency Essentials Group specials during the Preptember sale, now through September 30th. Call 800-999-1863 for exceptional customer service and BePrepared.com's low price guarantee. That's 800-999-1863. The choice is clear. Be unprepared or BePrepared.com.
Positive results from satisfied customers of Heart and Body Extract continue to pour into our website, hbextract.com.
This is Al from New Jersey. One day I saw your ad for Heart and Body Extract, and it mentioned that it would help me with angina, so I decided to order. I figure I had nothing to lose.
Heart and Body Extract supplies your body with everything it needs to balance itself and maintain optimal heart and circulatory health with no negative side effects.
I took the formula 3 times a day as directed, and I kid you not, within 4 days, my angina pain was completely gone.
Order HB Extract by calling 866-295-5305 or online at hbextract.com. That's 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
I could not believe it actually stopped the pain. Heart and Body Extract actually works. This is just an amazing product. Even the numbness in my hands is completely gone.
Heart and Body Extract for a long and healthy life.
I walk along the avenue. I never thought I'd meet a guy.
I know you're out there and you're alive. Even if you have one eye open, call us at 855-266-KATE, 855-266-5283. So many of you are what we call third shifters in the United States and certainly beyond the borders of the United States. They say that the amount of people that actually are just in America, the amount of people that are up and doing things and could be working is close to now 45 million. Isn't that crazy? The work week isn't 8 to 5 anymore anyway for really anybody, but it's definitely not when it comes to the different hours that people work. Some of that's necessity because of the economy. And as I said, the number one thing that everybody mentioned in what they sent me, if they had 3 questions that they would ask, if they could be the moderator of the first debate, what would they ask? Almost all the questions centered around the economy. And we'll have the winners of the best questions coming up here on America Tonight during this show. All right, we're broadcasting, as you know, I've said, from Dublin, Ireland, and one of the things that you can't miss when you come to Dublin, and certainly they're selling you on that, is Guinness and going to the Guinness storehouse and where they actually brew Guinness. There's a story, because I'm such a fan of history, that I think is one of the most fascinating things about Guinness. It really made Dublin thrive, but Arthur Guinness cut a contract in Ireland that may be the best contract anybody could have ever cut. I think if he had a lawyer or a barrister or a solicitor at the time, is what they would call him in Ireland, they would have been thrilled beyond belief because he got a 9,000-year lease for the land for the Guinness, for where they produce the Guinness, and they actually have a copy of that lease, 9,000-year lease, he signed. They have a copy of that lease that you can see. They have it implanted in the floor when you go to Guinness. And one of the really cool things is you go, if you go up to the top there of a bar level, and it's kind of an ultra-modern, chic sort of bar that's all windows, and you sit there and you pull up a tap and grab some Guinness and get to actually taste it, but you can really see all of Dublin from the vantage point. So Arthur Guinness was no dummy, and of course he certainly has sold many pints to the Irish and beyond. So here's a good question for you. I don't know, I just kind of think of this off the top of my head, not that I'm promoting drinking, but I know there are many of us that have had perhaps a brew or two, and I was thinking, what's the best beer? You know, there's so many beers. I really wasn't a big beer drinker until I moved to Texas, and then I started to see that there were all these different kinds of beer and people make beer and how fascinating it was. What's the best, you know, what's the best beer you ever had in your life? Best time you even had a beer? Where, if you could go back in your mind or go back in time, when would that be? And we have LaVisa Frost with us, and of course we're going to bug Matt Johnson too, back at the mothership in Minneapolis. But, you know, she's a Swede, so I can't let things go without, and she was educated partially in America, so I can't let that go, seeing her sitting with me. She's a vision of loveliness, of course, now, and would never be tipping back beers, but LaVisa, say hi to the people of America.
Well, hello, America.
But not just America, because we have an international audience.
World.
We probably, we actually have a couple Swedish listeners. Yeah. Christina, hello to you. She lives in Sweden. Christina, in fact, if you're listening, call in honor of LaVisa. She likes to call us sometimes, and if she'll love it when she hears this. If she doesn't, if she's not up and getting ready, she'll write us a note about the fact that we have you on. What, and this be interesting to ask you this, what, because you recently moved back to Sweden, what town do you live in? Because when people hear about Sweden, they don't know very much about it, they think Stockholm automatically, because that's what you keep hearing.
Well, we don't have too many big cities. I'm in Malmö, the third largest city, which is located right across from Copenhagen in Denmark, basically, so right on the water.
And what's Malmö known for?
What is Malmö known
Farms
for?
Farms or?
No, I mean, it is a sort of an industrial city. It used to be big in, you know, in the boating industry, sort of, you know, we're building a lot of ships there. All of that has sort of moved out. But so it's still an international city. It's a small city, 300,000, but very international.
And Sweden itself, you said this, it's interesting when we're talking about, I mean, you see the headlines here, it's about the EU and the economy all over the world, really, always above the fold, as we say, if you still get a paper, there's always something about money somewhere and problems people are having. But in Sweden, how are people doing in Sweden with the EU tanking the way it has been?
Well, I mean, obviously we're part of EU, but we're not part of the Eurozone. We are still using our own our own currency, along with Denmark and the United Kingdom. The Swedish crown has managed to get through the crisis, you know, amazingly well compared to other, compared to the euro. Obviously, we're still feeling it. We're, you know, we're still having problems. We're still looking at unemployment and especially youth unemployment, like, you know, a lot of countries around the world. So we're not unharmed by anything, but definitely I think at this point, for us to join the euro is not really a top of the list.
Doesn't make sense. And also, too, one of the things that Sweden, somebody said we were at dinner the other night, well, what's Sweden known for? Fish or, you know, just people are trying to, everybody's grasping at, well, Sweden, you know, what do the Swedes do? Pretty women and fish and nice people and whatever. But
and
it's
crystal, right? Yeah.
And crystal, yeah, but it's way more than that because also you mentioned something about technology, major contracts in Sweden.
We are a lot. We are a pretty high tech country if you compare to. Like I said, I just moved back to Sweden after being away for 12 years, and I felt like I've sort of fallen off the moon. I didn't know how to deal with daily life because it was so much more technologically advanced than I was used to. Like you don't use cash in the way that you use, for example, checks or things like that in America.
Right.
So it is a big difference, you know, so we're very good at that. And if you look at a lot of just tech things out of Sweden and just Silicon Valley, we had a lot of people being exported at the time when that was sort of starting off and being big. So we have that, and yeah, it's you know, we do quite a bit of technology in Sweden and other things as well. But it's a small country, but pretty productive for about 9 million, I'd say.
For 9 million. See, and I said the population of Ireland, just 6 million, barely 6
exactly.
million. So
yeah, you know, for being Europe, we're not that bad.
Right, so you compare it, and Sweden is bigger. All right, so for you, the beer.
You know... Yeah, it's a good one. So I'm a Heineken girl, so that's, you know, my, but I have to tell you, because coming up, my best, you said also memory when it comes to it, like Denmark, since I live so close to Denmark, a cold Danish beer with a real Danish, I know that sounds like a really bad combination, but it really is good, I promise.
How's that sound, America? Danish and a cold beer, wow, what a combination. I'm thinking chips, no Doritos.
I know, I can't... I feel embarrassed I just said that, but it is good. It is the truth.
All right, that's a good memory. Let's see what Matt Johnson has to say, LaVisa. Matt, how about you?
I'd probably have to go with a local beer, so I'd go with Surly Bender.
Surly Bender?
Yeah.
There must be something behind that name, Bender. You're thinking, you know, Bender means you put on a Bender.
They have many varieties of beer. They have the Surly Furious, Surly Bender. There's even a Coffee Bender, which... is a little different tasting, but if you're into it, it can be good. But, yeah, I like the local beers around here. If I had to go with a national beer, I don't know what I would drink the most of. There's a good brewery out of San Diego, I think, an Arrogant Bastard, I think, is the name of it.
Wow, nice name for a beer.
Yes.
So just like wines, they have different names, but that's more about varietal than it is being clever. That's a pretty good memory. For me, it would be probably Yingling. Yingling is a big beer back east that last time I was in Philadelphia a couple of years, it's probably been maybe 8 years ago or so, somebody told me I had to try a Yingling because I was ordering something else and I tried it and wow. The thing is with Yingling, unlike your Buds or Coors or any of that, you can't get Yingling in a lot of the parts of the country, but...
You know where I had my first Yingling?
Where'd you have it?
With you.
That's right. Were we in D.C.?
We were in D.C.
Yeah.
LaVisa wasn't with us, but she was in the same town as us.
She was with us that, yes, she wasn't with us that time, but she was in Washington.
Right.
Yeah, and there's something about the taste of it, I guess, that I like. I mean, you know, there's distinct tastes of beer, obviously, with how they mix it, what they put in it with the hops and everything. And some beers, like Chicago's known for Blue Moon, and that has, they put an orange in it. They'll put a slice of orange in it, and that tastes very different from a lot of the beers that all of us just mentioned here. There's definitely something to that. I would say Yingling, but the other thing I would say is I spent some time in Ohio, went to college in Ohio, a place called Ohio University. Went to what used to be the number one party school forever, naturally.
Yeah,
but it was also
you need to help your alma mater and get back on the number one list.
I know. We need to get back on the list again, right? I mean, I wasn't going there for that. I was going there for journalism because it had a big journalism school. But the beer there was Stroh's. And people would talk about Stroh's, 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 Stroh's. So we would drink Stroh's then. And they had a thing, and some of you listening might know this, they had a thing called 1-2-3 beer. So if you weren't old enough to drink, if you weren't 21, then what they would do is they would make you get this lighter version of beer called 1-2-3 beer. So I guess it was the forerunner to the non-alcoholic beers that people drink now, that people say, hey, I don't want to drink, but I'll have the plain O'Doul's that just, you know, makes me look like I'm drinking, I guess, or I just want it. But that was kind of the forerunner to it. And it's funny, LaVisa showed me something a lot of people were talking about in Ireland. They have a thing called Arthur's Day, and I noticed that also in Northern Ireland, and they celebrate Arthur Guinness, and all day long it's just an excuse to drink Guinness in Ireland. Oh, like they need more excuses to push Guinness, but it's a big deal. People sit around, they talk, different Arthurs come out for Arthur's Day for some reason, and they kibitz around town. All right, coming up next, we're going to introduce you to the Book of Kells and what not with Paul Fox from Trinity College. Stay with us.
Hey.
Fight back this cold and flu season with the world's best garlic extract, Allie C. Why Allie C? Because it helps your body fight viruses, bacteria, and fungi. Allie C has been scientifically proven in double-blind studies using low doses to greatly reduce the number, severity, and duration of common colds. Allie C contains 300 milligrams of stabilized allicin, the active ingredient in crushed garlic. Studies show Allie C is effective against MRSA, bacterial, fungal, and viral infections. One tablet of Allie C has the equivalent of 40 cloves of garlic. Allie C supports your body's resistance to all types of conditions and can help lower high blood pressure and high cholesterol. So boost your body's resistance to infection with nature's best garlic extract, Allie C. For more information and to order Allie C, call 877-888-7126 or go to garlichealthproducts.com. That's 1-877-888-7126 or go to garlichealthproducts.com for your Allie C today.
What do you do when your propane runs out and you don't have a large amount of wood for cooking? That's when you need a Grover Rocket Stove from StockStorage.com. The Grover Rocket Stove starts easily with any combustible material, like junk mail, small twigs, leaves, weeds, or dry sagebrush. Then just add a small amount of kindling wood, and you'll be cooking entire meals in minutes. Grover Rocket Stoves are made right here in the USA and are built to last a lifetime using heavy-duty, thick-gauge steel and are painted with high-temp paint to withstand heat. Go to StockStorage.com and see three great Grover Rocket Stoves, stainless steel, heavy-duty, or our original Grover Rocket Stove for only $135. And get free shipping to the lower 48. For phone orders, call 801-361-6984 or go to StockStorage.com. That's 801-361-6984 or StockStorage.com. The original Grover Rocket Stove minimal wood use cooking stoves. Available exclusively from StockStorage.com.
Every GCN listener deserves low cost, high quality survival and preparation products. Get yours now at CampingSurvival.com. For example, save on the Life Straw personal water filter for only $19.95 or the Water Bob emergency 100 gallon fresh water system only $24.95. Get one for every bathtub in your home. And Bridgeford Foods tasty, ready to eat MRE sandwiches start at only $2.95 each. CampingSurvival.com is a convenient one-stop shop with over 17,000 urban wilderness and preparedness items, supreme customer service, very low shipping, and no games. We search the web to make sure we have the lowest prices. And remember, CampingSurvival.com is 100% USMC veteran-owned. Do business with the authority on survival since 1956. CampingSurvival.com. Want more savings? Use coupon code GC in at checkout for a 5% discount. CampingSurvival.com. Confidence born of preparation.
Welcome back to America Tonight. We're here with Paul Fox at Trinity College. Paul, just amazing being in the Trinity College Library and seeing the amazing volumes of books, first of all. It really does blow your mind when you walk in. Book of Kells, first book in England, William Caxton, just crazy amounts of things that would take my entire show to talk about that are here. But you've worked here for a while now. When you first, can you take me back to the first time you ever walked into the library at Trinity College and what that was like for you?
Well, I can go back to my schoolhood, basically, when we came in here, and I reckon I was only around 10 years of age. As a school group, we came in here and really didn't know what we were looking at here. And at that time, I never would have thought that I would ever actually be working here. So I started here in 1989, and I was introduced to the library by the deputy librarian at the time, and she pointed out my duties to me of what I would be doing here. And I was just absolutely flabbergasted to look at the room, and I said, I have here to protect this collection. Wow, I said, you know, what a challenge, you know. But I'm here now over 20-odd years now, and I have to say, I still love it here, and, you know, I'm so committed to my position here. And to come in here and see visitors, they just stand there, and they're gaping, looking at what we have here. You know, it's important to say what we have here, this collection here. It them, it goes back to the start of the library. The books are actually older than the library. They go back to some of the time of the printing press. These are all early printed books here that you see. So we have a vast collection here.
In the guidebooks, every single guidebook I picked up, and I looked at 10 different ones, the first thing you see is Trinity College, and they talk about the Book of Kells. For the listeners who don't know, tell them about the Book of Kells.
Well, the Book of Kells is a 9th century rare manuscript. It's produced by monks who had settled in Kells in County Meath. And it's so elaborate because the colours and the text that went into it made it so unique. I mean, it took over 168 calves, which are the young cow, to produce the Book of Kells. And the colours, which came from various places and off the earth that they use, you know, even the likes of insects, the blood of insects that they would have used, or different kinds of... Just, it made it so unique. It's like a tattoo effect that went in onto the actual pages. So it has lasted quite a long time, you know. So 9th century to what we have now. It's amazing what's down there.
How many volumes of books do you have? And I know that probably changes, because I would imagine they're always searching for the next thing that they're going to put in, the stacks.
Yeah. Well, we always add some rare books to this collection if we can. Sometimes our keepers of the manuscripts will go to auctions and maybe bring back new collections that would be relevant to research work that they do here, you know. So this is a research library, so if we can help for our students in that way, that's what they do. But what the books themselves, sorry about that, I'm lost my train of thought.
That's okay. You're talking about the books.
No, you
and
could just...
You're talking about the books and the... you know, how that you're adding them for the students, get it going off to the auctions and stuff.
Yeah, so they still add to the collection here, to what we have, and we try to maintain what's actually here. They're all on a computer system now, and they're also on a card catalogue system that they always refer back to. In just in case we have a crash on the computers, we can still operate, because it is a working library to this day. Yeah.
Do you have a favorite book, or is that just too hard of a question?
Well, because of the collections that we have, I've actually seen various books over the years on display, and one of my favorites was Bram Stoker's Dracula, of course. And what I heard now about that is it's supposed to be the number 2 book in the world, Bram Stoker's Dracula. So, but we had it here on display in our cases here. So it's a huge collection. Personally, you'd need to be involved in the catalogue area, so you'd certainly know what is in there. But we have seen great volumes here.
I agree with you on Dracula. I'll take Dracula. Paul, thanks so much for coming on the show.
You're very, very welcome. Thank you, and I hope you enjoy your visit here, too.
All right, that's typical of the people of Ireland, and you heard how he said, Paul said at the end of that, I hope you enjoy your stay here in Ireland, and that's what you hear from the people everywhere you go. And next year's a big year, because 2013 is the year of the gathering, and they're inviting anybody who has Irish roots or anybody who wants to have Irish roots, because remember, people claim they're Irish even when they aren't. So they're inviting you to come back to join in celebrating in the music and the culture and the festivals and the fun and lots more, and you don't want to miss this. I'm telling you, this is an amazing country. It's a great chance for you to experience Ireland like you never have before. Organize your own gathering. That would be fun, to get a group of people. Think of it. You could go to Guinness. You could go to Jameson. You could go to Northern Ireland. You could spend a lot of time in Dublin meeting some wonderful people. In fact, I want to give you a place to go where you can check it out. To find out more, you can go to discoverireland.com/thegathering. So go to discoverireland.com/thegathering. You know, in talking about politics, I was throwing the thread out about the fact that we've got the first debate coming up. People in Ireland love Bill Clinton, and remember that he was a big part of trying to unify the people in Northern Ireland, the people in Northern Ireland, the Protestants and the Catholics, and all the problems they had starting from late 1960s on, where people would open new restaurants in Belfast and they would be fearful that someone would throw a bomb in the restaurant and whatnot. And the great thing is that now that Belfast has really turned itself around. And part of that, and part of the reason for the love of Bill Clinton is because he was heavily involved in that, sending Senator George Mitchell, in fact, to try to work things out with the people. And he did a fine job of that. And you can see that it's really turning a corner there. And it's a definitely, it's a must-see place that I would put on the list. You come to the gathering, you want to make sure that you go up to Belfast. It's a little less than two hours, actually, from Dublin, where we are right now. And so it's a very easy trip with there are certainly tours and whatnot, but you can also rent a car and drive up to Belfast, and you get to see the new Titanic Museum that already, they opened the doors of Titanic Belfast, and that's where the Titanic was built. And they expected that in May, they were hoping by the end of the year that they would have 400,000 visitors. And I talked to several people up there, and lo and behold, they've already had 500,000 visitors. So they already blew out their expectations and think they, you know, they could get close to 1 million by the end of the year. That's that love affair or fascination or whatever it is with the Titanic that people around the country of Ireland, not just Ireland, but the world have. And they say 20% of the folks that have gone already to see the brand new museum and the attraction have been American. Can you imagine? They've been American. All right, I said quickly here at the end a couple of things that we would talk about. Some of the winners of the best questions, if they could ask a question and be one of the moderators of the first debate that's coming up this week, what would the question be? And Tank, listening to us in Vermont, he said, my only question would be, give us some real hope and change that we can count on. Turn this economy around. Do it now. Figure out a way, because we are so desperate here in Middle America that we have to have some hope now more than ever. So what are your plans to pull us out of the deficit? And if you have to raise taxes, we're willing to pay our fair share. Just make sure that it's fair. So how do you intend to make it fair? Well, that's a long-winded question, Tank. But I like the thought behind it, because really he's echoing what I said, everybody said. So we're going to give him a copy of the book. He's one of the winners anyway. This is truly the thing that weighs heavy on so many people's minds, is how are they going to make it in stringing jobs together and trying not to have their, still not to have their house slip away from them and whatnot. So congratulations to Tank. Thanks to everybody for listening to this hour of America Tonight. Don't forget, you want to check out Ireland. It is a fun place. DiscoverIreland.com/thegathering. That's where you need to go to find out more info. Loving this time here in Dublin.
How do you know him?
Fame, fortune, fast women.
Yeah? How about a beer?
Even better.
Silver understands that mainstream medicine and the rising cost of health care can financially destroy any family. We simply cannot afford to get sick. The only option is to stay healthy. Americans are learning that ill health is not caused by a deficiency of drugs. It's usually the result of a deficiency of minerals, vitamins, proper nutrition, and exercise. UtopiaSilver.com offers colloidal silver and healing protocols for vaccine and radiation poisoning, arthritis, insomnia, and more. If you're sick of unconstitutional government mandates, then stand up now and say no. The time is growing short to put this evil genie back in its bottle. Join Utopia Silver in promoting good health and fighting for our God-given health care rights. Visit UtopiaSilver.com, UtopiaSilver.com, or call 888-213-4338. That's 888-213-4338.